I was reflecting earlier this week about how I have spent so much of my life out in the world looking for my people, looking for acceptance, looking for people to like me and for me to find my place, so to speak, where I could just be who I am, as I am, without worrying about feeling foolish or feeling embarrassed. When I simply am myself, when I am acting and speaking from the heart in a natural, spontaneous way. And it was really a strange dichotomy, and it has been for me, because as someone who has lived so much of my life, the majority of my life was lived in a very reclusive and a very isolated way. And I say that. However, there were times that during that time, I always still, no matter how isolated I would become, I was hiding away from the world, hiding away from people, because every time I went out into the world, and it took me a long time to realize this, every time I went out into the world and was around people, I found it so difficult to do for just this reason, because I had some sort of agenda. I wanted to find my place in the world. I wanted to find my people. And I had this belief, these thoughts or these notions that were very, very persistent, and they were very pervasive. And it was something that was a common theme for me for much of my life, was that if I can't find my people, if I can't go out in the world and not have to worry about feeling foolish and about being embarrassed for just simply being me, then I'm not going to do it. And I didn't do it for much of my life, for decades. And I would go out, every so often I would venture out because I would feel really isolated and kind of tiptoe out into the world. And with the best of, what I feel like are the best of intentions, only to find that I wasn't finding only to discover that I wasn't finding what it was I was looking for. And through mindfulness practice, I will say, and this is to a certain degree is outside of the scope of mindfulness in terms of this deep inner need to be liked, to be accepted, and to find a community of sorts where I would be accepted in some way. A lot of this had to do with things that were, this is really way beyond what I'm speaking about at this moment, in terms of healing my own issues and dealing with my own inner stuff. And what I wanted to really focus on at this moment is how mindfulness practice helped me to essentially cope in a more mindful and in a more harmonious way with the challenges that I found myself constantly dealing with due to having this deep inner need. It's interesting because I've spoken to so many people who echo a similar sentiment, who speak of the challenges of, finding their community, finding their people, being in a space with other people where they can kind of, quote unquote, let their hair down and be who they are. And I know that it is something that it's something that could be realized, but the thing that I really am noticing and really paying attention to the past day or so is that it also is just a concept in my mind. It's literally just a belief that, quote unquote, such a place exists, that there are people like this and a community like this that exists. And I don't know if it does or not. And I can say that actually with a smile on my face, because there is a feeling of freedom that comes from the deep inner knowing that any belief that I have, any mental construct or set of beliefs that I have that are based in thought, and that thought comes from the emotions that I feel when I go out into the world being vulnerable in any given way, that what happens is I find myself being very busy being the person, thinking a lot, and the thoughts happen regardless, and there's nothing I can do to stop them. But what happens is whatever I focus on, whatever I am really paying attention to, that is what is, those are the thoughts that are going to occur. My guru used to speak a lot about how what he referred to His statement was that desire is the universe. We can go out into the world. Let's say, for instance, I go out into the world and other people go out into the world as individuals. Each one of us has these deep unmet needs. And I'm not assuming that everyone does. I'm just speaking from the experience of having conversations with so many people over the years about this, and that different people go out into the world and pay attention to different things. If they're focused on love and acceptance, then when they go out in the world, that's all they see. And just as an example that he used to use, if someone is worried about their teeth not being white enough, so to speak, and I know, you know, this, I'm just using an example, that all you notice is whether people's teeth are white or not. If I'm preoccupied with my weight and how I look physically, then I'm going to go out into the world really identifying myself as someone whom I think somehow has something wrong with them. And then all I'm going to pay attention to when I see people is their weight and how they appear. And bringing all this back together, I wanted to say that it has been the freedom that mindfulness practice has brought for me, in addition to all the healing work, which is outside the scope of this. But in terms of being able to live life moment to moment, and for me to be able to be at my best, so to speak, and I say that very loosely because this is not a judgment about me being my best. It's just that when I say me being at my best, what I'm really saying is going out into the world, being who I am, not being afraid to act and speak from the heart and be who I am, regardless of whether I find my people or not, or find the love and acceptance that somehow I have found myself seeking. If I can simply go out into the world and be okay with and embrace the fact that I'm going to go out into the world and these thoughts are going to happen, and the reason why they happen, and I'm going to find myself sometimes being overly self-conscious and, you know, wondering and worrying about whether people like me or not, or whether they think that I'm weird or strange or whatever it is, whatever the possible judgment could be. There are so many of these that I can go out into the world and I can know that there's nothing that I can do to stop these thoughts from happening. The reason why they're happening is because of a neural habit that I developed decades ago about being concerned about what people think about me, and me speculating and worrying and putting a lot of effort and emphasis and energy and time into these thoughts about whether people like me or accept me. And if I can go out into the world and just realize and pay attention to these thoughts, then I won't be so paralyzed by them. And I even had this happen yesterday. I was actually out in the world, and the story of, you know, of what happened, quote unquote, is not really that important. But I noticed that there, and I really want to share this because I think this really speaks to this. I went out into the world with, you know, what I, there again, what I say, the best of intentions, and I'm always very grateful for any opportunities that I have to connect with people. And this was around a certain project that I have had going on for a number of years. And I went into, you know, someone else's establishment and found myself, because of things that happened, sensing somehow. And when I say sensing, there was, you know, kind of a sensing of someone else's energy. But there was also a lot of my thoughts and judgments about, is this person, you know, coming from a place of not accepting me? Is this a person that's coming from a place of somehow not being happy about the fact that I'm there? And what's interesting is that in the past, I would find myself in the midst of a situation like that and be completely paralyzed. And all I would want to do would be to flee from the scene. I would want to get away from this very disconcerting feeling. Because, and what the feeling was generated from was all of the thoughts that I had. You know, something emotionally was coming up for me that I can't even put words on, words about, or to describe it other than it was a sense of fear and it was a sense of uncertainty. And it was very visceral. And then what happens is the thoughts start from there. And suddenly I'm starting to have some thoughts about whether or not this person likes me, whether or not they even want me to be there, you know, even though I have a definite, legitimate reason for being there. And I was told that it was okay for me to be there and engaging in this project that I have for a good number of years now, only to find myself walking away from there. And this is something I want to mention as well, that because I've become aware that I'm very sensitive to this, I didn't really find myself really trapped in these or locked into a loop of these thoughts until I woke up in the middle of the night. And that is also a neural habit. That's also a habit of mind, somehow being, you know, awakened in the middle of the night and finding myself thinking. It doesn't happen nearly as much as it used to because of nothing that I've done. It is just that I sense that this is just something that has happened. The longer that I've practiced mindfulness, I found that that is one of the benefits, that if I can get in the habit of catching myself in the act of thinking, so to speak, and if I can do that and just identify and be aware of the fact that I'm thinking, then I don't have to be completely wrapped up in it. And those thoughts, literally, it's almost miraculous how the thoughts themselves will just dissipate if I'm not giving them time and energy. And in this case, I didn't react so much in the moment. And I want to celebrate that. When this happened, when the things that were said to me were said to me, and the tone and the manner in which they were said to me within the context of where I found myself in that situation, I am incredibly grateful. And I feel like it really bears mentioning. It really, to me, it merits speaking about the fact that mindfulness practice ultimately is what has allowed me to be able to cope with situations like that and not become completely locked up and paralyzed. It also allows me to be free from having a lot of the negative emotions, such as anger and resentment and feeling hurt and feeling put upon. And all of these emotions, I realize I can't, I can try to put, use words to describe the emotions, but it really is just something that I'm feeling in my body. And then all the thoughts in response to that energy in my body ultimately become thoughts of anger, of resentment, of feeling hurt, of feeling like a victim. And then if I have the thoughts about this, and if I start believing these thoughts, then these thoughts turn into beliefs and creating an identity that I'm the person that isn't liked, that isn't accepted. Why life isn't fair? Why is it that, I can't seem to find that place that I can go out in the world where I can be liked and accepted and where people will greet me with open arms? These are all just thoughts and beliefs. And at the end of the day, people are going to be I realize everyone, if not everyone, almost everyone realizes that, in life, being out amongst other people, that people are ultimately going to be how they are. And I do recognize it took me a long time to realize that, everyone has their struggles and issues that they're dealing with. Everyone has their projections of who they think other people are. And it's not always about me. It doesn't always necessarily, even though it's very easy for me to, as someone who's very overly emotionally sensitive and always has been since I was a small child, I can make it about me. Because I can start having thoughts about, well, it has to be me. There's some reason why this person is acting this way, and it's because of me. And I realize now that, practicing mindfulness has allowed me to free myself. And I shouldn't even say free myself. What it's allowed me to do is to be able to be in a very genuine, authentic way, whoever it is that I am. I don't even have to know who it is I am. I don't know who I am. I don't even know how to have names for it or a way to describe it. I just simply am. And the more that I've been able to pay attention to my breathing and pay attention to my thoughts and to, stay connected and centered within my own being, within my own body, within my own being, and to just be able to witness this sometimes uncontrollable torrent of thoughts that are coming through, it almost feels like rushing rapids in a river, and it can sweep us away. And before we know it, you wake up, minutes and hours, maybe even days and weeks, months later, only to recognize that, oh wow, I've gotten caught up in these thoughts and beliefs. And at some point, we're not really here anymore. We're there. And when I say there, I'm speaking of we're somewhere else that we've created in our minds. because of the fact that we're believing what we're thinking about what we're feeling. And then we're identifying as the person who's being affected this way. And then we kind of start deciding who we think we are based on these thoughts. And it has very little to do with who we really actually are in the absence of the belief of these thoughts. And I woke up in the middle of the night, and I admit it, that I, while yesterday, you know, to me, this is really something that is a very, it's, you know, the story overall is, if there is a story, is that I was able to walk away from there yesterday without really having a lot of thoughts about it. I certainly was aware that something was going on, and there were some very mild, not overwhelming thoughts about feeling rather foolish due to the way that things unfolded. And there again, what actually happened isn't that important, because that's really just the story of what happened. But what I'm really focusing on right now is that due to mindfulness practice, and I'm very grateful to have been able to have found a practice that allows me to, in the moment when I was out in the world yesterday, when I was at this location, feeling, you know, finding myself with just, you know, kind of mild thoughts, not overwhelming thoughts of something felt very off, and I felt a little foolish, and it wasn't that I was doing anything on purpose to feel foolish. It's just that I was basically just being who I am. Things happen the way that they happen, and I always take full responsibility for any of my actions, and it wasn't that I did anything quote-unquote wrong. It's just that within the context of the situation, it brought to light some sensing, deep inner sensing, that somehow maybe I wasn't as welcome as I thought that I was there, that maybe somehow I was upsetting someone, or, you know, causing them problems through me just being who I am and doing what I was doing, that somehow that they were being inconvenienced, or that they were frustrated or irritated with me. It all really had to do with tone of voice. It all really had to do with the way that I was spoken to. And I'm also open to the fact that I may be completely wrong. I could be, these are just because these are thoughts, just because I thought and was thinking that somehow this person felt a certain way about me, or these people felt a certain way about me. And it would be very easy for me to jump to conclusions and begin to develop beliefs that somehow I wasn't accepted, that I wasn't welcome, that I wasn't liked. Sometimes for me, the struggle has been not feeling appreciated. That really wasn't the case in this particular situation, but it's a common theme of mine. And thanks to the practice of mindfulness, I've recognized that. And these are common triggers for me when I find myself out in the world, reacting sometimes in a very subtle way to what people say and how they say it and the way that they do things. And I was able to walk away from there and really not be completely overwhelmed and overly troubled by what happened. And I'm so incredibly grateful for that. And what surprised me so much was that I was able to just go about my day. The thoughts came and the thoughts went, and somehow, it wasn't that I was trying not to take the thought seriously. This is the beautiful part to me, is that through practicing not taking the thought seriously, and the only way I have to do that, it's very simple, it's not easy, and it's certainly something that's a very powerful and transformative practice, and it certainly has been worth the time that I've invested in it and the energy that I've invested in it, but it's simple. I just simply pay attention to the thoughts. I just watch my mind. And at first, yes, it does take some time and effort to pay attention to telling myself, okay, I'm going to practice mindfulness now. I'm going to sit here for 5 minutes or 1 minute or 30 minutes, and I'm just going to watch my thoughts. And it is sometimes amazingly difficult to do that in the beginning. But after doing that for decades, and I'm not saying that it takes decades for people to realize the fruits of this practice, but it is something that has just become a habit. And then at some point, there's not even really a habit to speak of. It's just that if I continue this pattern of paying attention to my mind, pretty soon I'm paying attention to my mind without trying to pay attention to my mind. What many gurus have spoken about, the fact that when people speak of meditation, you get to a point where there is no meditator. There is no person doing anything at all. And it is a state, it is a way of being that is not, you know, what I find in some ways is it is mystical, it is mysterious, but it is also something that is very human. And I found that it's been something that actually happens when I'm not trying to make it happen. When I can be free if I'm not busy being the person that's trying to free myself from the challenges and difficulties of being a human being out in the world, dealing with other people. Somehow through just the actual simple practice of awareness allows me to just create a little bit of headspace. And this is available to anyone. There's nothing amazing or special about me. I'm just an ordinary, average human being. But it's that it starts to arise spontaneously, that somehow when I start to make the effort to create that headspace, to return back to my center and to pay attention to what's going on in my head, so to speak, that it just starts to happen on its own. And I don't want to develop expectations about that. I definitely did in the beginning. And the more I had beliefs and expectations about if I do X, I'm going to get Y, so to speak. If I do A, B and C will happen. It doesn't necessarily work that way. All I keep doing is returning back to the practice. And I have several experiences where, in the early years, going to meditation retreats, finding some sort of breakthrough that was happening where I was able to get beyond the beliefs that I had. And there was this incredible joy that happened. And I can remember going to meditation teachers, when you would go to a retreat, and at some point, once a day, twice a day, you would report to your meditation teacher what happened, what your experiences were. And I remember very excitedly going up to a meditation teacher and telling them about how it's happening. I'm finally really experiencing this. And all that would be said to me was, well, good. Return back to your seat and continue doing that. And I laugh about that because I realize that in the moment there, and I think there was a teaching there. I don't know that they were intending to teach me this, but I was so incredibly excited about what I had experienced and found that I realized that there was an expectation. Somehow I thought, and that this is another great example. I was looking for something through that teacher. My projections about how I thought that they would react when I found this incredible joy through this discovery of freedom, through not believing everything that I was thinking about what I was feeling, that I had somehow had expectations that they were going to celebrate this with me, that they were going to celebrate this as much as I did and be as excited about it as I did. And it's not to say that they weren't, but the idea here is that, this isn't about reaching a mountaintop moment. And it took me a while to appreciate that about this practice. What I found is that the mountaintop really wasn't the mountaintop that I thought it was. Now what I found is the mountaintop is not about reaching these ecstatic highs through seeing through something and being able to stay grounded in my own being and to not get carried away with all these thoughts. What is really the juice of this, if there is such a thing, it is about the joy of just simply being free to be without being burdened by and carrying this heavy load of all of these thoughts and identities that we create for ourselves due to all of these internal reactions that we have and then the thoughts that come from them. And so yesterday, it felt amazing to walk away from a place that felt, while I felt a little weird and I was aware that something was going on with me and I was reacting a certain way, I was able to go about my day with joy. I was able to not carry this like a burden over my shoulders or on my back. And when I woke up in the middle of the night, suddenly I just, for whatever reason, it doesn't happen that much anymore. And I don't even know why, and I don't even need to know why, but suddenly the thoughts came back online, and I found myself really digging into, what happened yesterday. I think I know what happened, and I know this about myself, as soon as I say I know what happened, it's a signal for me to recognize that I don't know anything, and that I'm just busy being the person thinking I know what happened. And just me saying I know what happened is nothing more than a thought. It's nothing more than a belief that I know what happened because my thoughts are telling me what happened. And I don't know if that's really true or not. And I don't even need to know if it's true. And just because the thoughts are mine, happening in my head doesn't mean that they're true. And at some point, there is a letting go of the need to believe that what I'm thinking is true. And that's really where it gets interesting. That's really where the freedom is. And I can say, you know, I can honestly say I spent about an hour in the middle of the night getting really wrapped up in these thoughts, really, you know, really getting involved in this, really developing these beliefs and thoughts through the thoughts that were happening, feeling unbelievably foolish, feeling like I, you know, why did I go down there yesterday? Why did I do this? What was this all about? And why does this happen to me? You know, all those feelings of being a victim. I went down there with the best of intentions. My heart was open, and yet this is what happens. And so I was able to finally catch myself after about an hour of that, realizing that here I go again. You know, it's just me doing it, and there's no judgment. But it's such a beautiful feeling to be able to get to a place, and it's not really even getting to a place because that place is right here, right now. And so when I say that, what I'm really saying is I can get to a place that is I'm already there. It's just I'm busy thinking thoughts that are really just nothing more than a manufactured reality. It's there. It's a place that really doesn't exist except in my mind. And if I can recognize that, I couldn't stop myself from going down this path. All I had to do was be aware that I was doing it, and at some point I could let go of it and not give it energy anymore and not give it time anymore. And then suddenly what was a very, and it was tumultuous only in my mind. It was, if there was a whole lot of things happening that were turbulent, the waters were very turbulent, that was only in my mind. And once I could come back to just being in this quiet space that I was in and that I had been in, to come back to that and recognize that this really was not anything what I thought that it was, I could allow myself to go back into life. I could go back to sleep. I don't need to find peace. I already am peace. We all are already peace. And we can be in peace. We're already there. It's just that it's very hard to recognize that when we're in the midst of all these thoughts and beliefs. And that, to me, is ultimately why I'm so grateful. Another reason, one of the many, many reasons why I'm so grateful for this practice, and I keep returning to it, hopefully moment after moment. And when I forget once in a while and don't remember, then the idea here is to, when I do remember, I continue to be grateful that I remembered yet again, and I don't have to worry about the next moment. All I can do is live this one moment at a time.